Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Hello, Nations Church. Corey Turner here. I'm so excited about bringing to you the Word. You're in a series called Awaken, and God has put a word on my heart for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. I'm going to encourage you to open up your Bibles and go there with me, but why don't we pray as we get into the Word today. Father, we just thank you that you are the one by your Spirit that illuminates our hearts and awakens our hearts to the truth of who Jesus is. Father, I pray today as I preach your Word that you would fill us with the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to know the hope to which you have called us. Father, I pray for your blessing, your favor upon every person who watches this online and upon every person connected to Nations Church. Thank you, Lord, that you are awakening your people in this season. Father, we love you. We honor you. We ask you now, Holy Spirit, to come and illuminate our thinking, renew our minds, transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11 says this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I really believe that today the Holy Spirit wants us to be awakened to the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives in this season. Just because we're going through restrictions of a pandemic doesn't mean God's purposes for our lives go on hold. God still has a purpose and a plan for the gifts of the Holy Spirit that he has called and gifted you with, and he wants you to awaken to them in this season. Now, several years ago, my wife and I and our kids, we went on a family holiday. And towards the end of that holiday, we decided we needed to fill our new European car up with oil. And when I drove this European car out of the dealership, the salesman said to me, "Now, whatever you do, if you're not familiar with the engines of European cars, do not open the bonnet and bother to try and fix it. European cars, particularly the Audi Q5 that I just purchased, is unlike any car you've driven before. And if you're not familiar with it, don't touch it." Well, me being me decides that when the oil gauge comes on and we need to fill it up with oil, decides this is going to be a great teaching moment for our children. And so we got to the petrol station, I got the oil, and I got the kids out of the car under the banner of teaching moment kids. And all the kids pile out of the car and they're hovering around the bonnet, the engine, as I am beginning to show my kids how to fill the oil up in the car. And so I began to, as I opened the bonnet, I looked at the engine and I realized that I was not familiar with. But however, I'm a man and I've done this many times before. And so, like a good father and a good man, we're going to get this job done either way. And so I proceeded to fill the car up with oil. Now, I noticed when we all hopped back in the car and started to drive away that the oil gauge did not change. And so I thought, oh, maybe it's just going to take a little bit of time. Well, my wife drops me off at the fitness center. I do a workout. She comes and picks me up. And as she picks me up, she says the words, teaching moment, because apparently I had poured the coolant up where you put the coolant fluid with the oil, and now we have a major problem in our new European car. My ignorance of how this particular engine worked led to a misuse of the engine. And in Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, in verse 1, he says, concerning spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. You see, the Corinthians were misusing the gifts of the Holy Spirit out of ignorance. Ignorance of something always leads to abuse of it. And what we don't understand, we're often afraid of. And what we're afraid of, we try and control. But the answer to the misuse of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives isn't the non-use, it's the proper use. God has given you gifts in your life to empower your ministry and your service. And the gifts that He's given to you are supernatural abilities for the calling, the purpose, and the destiny that is on your life. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to awaken to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because whilst we're in a season where we've been disrupted, interrupted in the circumstances of our lives, God's purposes for you don't change. God's intentions for His church don't change. And you are to use your gifts, understand your gifts, and awaken to the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside of you to serve the purposes of God in this hour. Now, it's important we understand some things about the gifts of the Spirit. Firstly, the gifts of the Spirit are diverse in operation. In verse 4 and 5, we read, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Not only that, in verse 8 to 10, Paul gives us a long list. This list isn't complete. It's not exhaustive. It's simply an indicator of some of the gifts that are available to us in our relationship with God. Now, what Paul does is he actually draws a parallel between the diversity of the gifts and the diversity in the Godhead. Just as we are in relationship with a God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Diverse in expression and personality, but united in spirit. There is a Trinitarian nature to the Godhead. So too, there is a diversity to the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives. These list of gifts are simply representatives, not exhaustive, of the workings of the Holy Spirit in all of their variety in our lives. It's so important to understand that diversity, not uniformity, is healthy for us as believers and in the local church. All of us are not supposed to look the same. If two of us are identical, one of us isn't necessary. You've been given a different gift to me. And although that you may have a cluster of gifts that's similar to another believer, similar to another leader, does not mean that the ministry that God has given to you will be expressed in exactly the same way. If you go and take your kids on a visit to the zoo, you'll see that the elephants are not looking longingly over at the reptile enclosure and just wishing that they could slither around like a snake. That would be weird. Eagles are not looking at the monkey enclosure and just wishing that they could pick each other's backs for all of the issues that are in the other animal. No, animals are not looking at other animals in the animal kingdom, just wishing and longing, feeling insecure about themselves, wanting to be something other than what they've created to be. Listen, you make a bad imitation, but you are a perfect original. Your gift is a revelation of your purpose before God. Stop comparing your gifts to other people around you. Stop trying to be like other people around you and be the person that God has in fact called you to be. Not only are the gifts diverse in operation, but the gifts of the Spirit are singular in origin. The Bible says in verse 6, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Now, the Greek word for spiritual is the word pneumatikos. It's where we get the word pneumatic, or even the name of our church, pneuma, from. As a tire is filled with air, so a gift is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, God doesn't give you a gift like someone gives you a gift or a present on your birthday, something that's separate to themselves and external to themselves. When God gives you a gift, He's literally giving you Himself, expressing Himself through that gift. So when it comes to prophecy, when someone is prophesying, or you're prophesying, or someone from the platform is prophesying over you, that's literally the Spirit of God in that person expressing himself and His personality and His presence through the gift or through the act of prophecy. When someone is teaching in a life group or on a platform, or someone is sharing the gospel with an unsaved friend and engaging in the gift of evangelism, that's literally the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of them, manifesting through teaching, through evangelism, or through prophecy or words of knowledge. Your gift is a revelation of God to the world around you. And God's nature is to empower you with the authority that you need to get the job done of what it is that He's in fact called you to. Your gift is a supernatural ability given by the Holy Spirit at spiritual birth. At natural birth, you have inherent natural talents inside of you. And depending upon the environment you grew up with will depend upon the different talents that you cultivated and developed in your life. Can I encourage you to understand that the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life are charisma. They are freely given. You didn't do anything to earn them, but God gave them to you as a free grace gift. Don't chase the gift, chase the giver, and you'll discover that the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no shadow or variation due to change, will always supply you what you need to fulfill the call of God upon your life. You need to awaken to the nature, the diversity, and the origin of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are also purposeful in manifestation. The Bible says in verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now, the Greek word for manifestation is actually phanerosis, and it means what God manifests in me must actually edify others through me. That's so good, I need to say that again. What God manifests in me must edify others through me. Now, in Israel, there are two well-known seas. The first sea is the Sea of Galilee, and the second sea is the Dead Sea. The Sea of Galilee has an outlet to it. The Dead Sea has no outlet. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. It can't support life. Fresh water flows in to the Dead Sea from the Jordan River, but nothing flows out of the Dead Sea because there's no outlet. And without an outlet, the salt concentration in the water increases as much as 8 times that of ocean water. Nothing can live without an outlet. You apply this to your spiritual life. God's created you to be a conduit, not a container of His presence. You're supposed to be a river that flows, not a dam that contains. I'm a big believer in an impression of the Spirit without an expression of the Spirit will leave a depression in your spirit. And many believers are quite depressed in their spirits because they're not giving expression. There's no outlet in their life to the impression and inner working of the Holy Spirit in their lives and in their hearts. I believe that if God can get it through you, God can get it to you. You don't need to worry about God getting to you what you need when you are focused more on God getting through you to others what He has given to you. If there is any lack in your life, the lack is never on God's end. Often the lack is always on our end because there's no outlet. There's no river of living water that's actually flowing through our lives. But when you focus on the outlet, God will take care of the inflow. You've got to get focused on where that river needs to flow. You see, your gift isn't for personal admiration. It's for corporate edification. God does not want you to look in the metaphorical spiritual mirror at your gifts and just admire how amazing they are. That's not for you. Your gift is not about you. It's not for you. It's actually about others and about serving others and blessing others and encouraging others. In 1 Corinthians 14:12, Paul says, "Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in those things that build up the body." You know, a long time ago, I stopped asking my wife, "How did I preach today?" Because one, I'd never got the answer that I was hoping for. And two, because the point of ministry is not how did I perform or how did the presentation go. Rather, the right question is, was anybody helped today? Was anybody served today? Did anybody walk out transformed and changed today? Can I encourage you to worry less about who's recognizing your gift and focus more on who's receiving your gift? It's not about recognition, it's about reception. It's about those who need to receive of the deposit of heaven in your heart and in your life. 1 Peter 4:10 says like this, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace." So there is a purpose to the manifestation of the gifts in your life. But not only that, the gifts of the Spirit are sovereign in distribution. The Bible says in verse 11, "All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit," listen to this, "who apportions to each one individually as he wills." As I've already said, that Greek word charisma means freely given, meaning the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not a reward for good behavior. You can't somehow earn more market share of power in the kingdom of God through your efforts or through your behavior. So don't believe the lie that I must be a better Christian before God can use me. The truth is, God uses all of us in spite of ourselves. Power is not the market share of really holy people. The power of God, the gifts of the Spirit, are accessed by God's sovereign grace and your faith. I can still remember the first time I preached back 20 years ago. I had 11 pages of notes. I actually wrote every little bit of my manuscript out, even the welcome to everyone at the start of my message. I preached for an hour. Nothing much has changed. A lot shorter for you, Nations Church. But halfway through my message, I got people up to give a back or a shoulder massage and just wanted to keep people, you know, keep the blood flowing. But I remember it came to the end of that message. And if I could repeat this every time, I would, but it's like the heavens opened. The power of God began to manifest. No one taught me to prophesy, but I began to pick people out and prophesy. Demons started to get cast out of people. People started to fall out under the Spirit in the foyer before they even got into the auditorium. People were so overwhelmed and overcome by the Spirit of God that there was a sovereign move of God. The Spirit was in operation in a sovereign way, but it required my willful partnership with the sovereignty of God to see people's lives impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, your gift will make you look good, but remember who gave it to you. God is the source of your gift. He's the giver of every good gift. Your gift isn't about you, but about manifesting the glory of God to the world around you. And as the Apostle Paul writes this passage to the church in Corinth, he's wanting to get across to us that what God appoints you to, Nations Church, He anoints you for. Let me say that again. What God has appointed you to in the city of Perth, in Cork Island, in Cambodia, what God has appointed you to, He is anointing you for. With every appointing, there is an anointing. God doesn't call you and then leave out the equipment, the supernatural ability, the grace grace that you need to do what he has called you to do. When he called Moses to become a deliverer of Israel, he anointed Moses with the miracles of signs and wonders. When he called David to lead God's people as a king, he gave him the gift and anointing of leadership. When God called Esther to be a deliverer of God's people, he anointed her with the gift of faith. When God called Elijah to be a prophet to Israel and to rage against the injustice of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, he anointed Elijah with the ministry of revelation and prophecy. And the Bible says in Romans 11:29, for the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. They are without repentance, meaning once God calls you, once God gifts you, once God anoints you, he is not going to call them back. Why? Because he has anointed you and he has appointed you for such a time as this, and you need to awaken to the gift of God that's in your life. What are you doing with the gifts that God has given to you? When God appointed my wife and I to go itinerant and travel the world, he anointed us with the grace to be able to travel and minister and prophesy and do all the things that we are doing. Now that he's appointed us and called us to lead Pneuma Church and to plant churches, what's he done? He's anointed us to actually given us the grace to be able to lead and do all that he has called us to do. What you need to do is firstly desire the greater gifts. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about earnestly desiring the greater gifts or the higher gifts. I believe that what Paul is talking about here is the relevant gift at the right time. The greater gifts is not so much that, you know, having a healing gift is greater than someone who has a leadership gift, or having a teaching gift is greater than someone who has an intercessory gift, as it is about the relevant gift at the right time. If I was to walk into a hospital room and minister to someone who is very sick, what they need right now, if they're a believer, is they don't need me to preach the gospel to them. They're already convinced. What they need is a healing gift. And so I desire, God, can you please manifest the healing gift and anointing in this moment, in this room right now? Why? Because it's the relevant gift at the relevant time. Not only do you need to desire the gifts of the Spirit, you need to discover your gifts. And how you discover your gifts is you start serving. Before you fill out a spiritual gifts profile, just start serving in the life of the church. And you may say, how on earth are we going to do that in a COVID restriction season? Let me tell you, there's lots of things you can do. You can take a home-cooked meal over to your neighbor. You can actually start an intercessory prayer group online. You can actually start to serve and be trained up to be a life group leader. You can start to provide the ministry of helps to all of the needs that are in your community and through your church. Rather than filling out a spiritual gifts profile, as good as that is, start serving and watch your gift discover you. Not only that, but you need to develop your gift. Don't neglect your gift. Develop it. Start to practice it. I used to take my messages and preach on a Friday night every single week to an empty auditorium before I ever got a preaching invitation. I did that for 2 years as I prepared myself for the call of God upon my life. And lastly, you need to deploy your gift. You need to activate your faith. You need to step out of the boat of comfort and step out onto the water of inconvenience, and you need to practice the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. I used to practice my prophetic gift at the petrol station. I used to go in and ask God to give me the name of the petrol attendant and then test my gift out. I had about a 75% strike rate. And when I got it wrong, they'd say, why do you ask for my name? I'd say, oh, I just got it wrong. Someone was talking to me about someone who worked here. And when I got it right, I'd also say, someone was talking to me about someone who worked here. And I'd encourage them with a word. Don't wait until you got a platform before you start deploying your gift. Start to practice your gift, activate your faith, and watch the power of God manifest in your life in a powerful way. Now, what I want to do right now is just pray for an activation and an awakening of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life wherever you are. God's purposes are not on hold just because life looks differently right now. He still called you, he still anointed you, he still gifted you, and he wants to awaken you to your purpose and your destiny. Come on, why don't we close our eyes and let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much for every person who's watching online. I thank you, oh God, for your purposes for us are exceedingly good. And Father, I thank you that where the enemy tries to come and sow lies and doubts into our minds and our hearts about our identity in you, about our purpose, our value, our worth, I thank you, Father, today the devil is a liar. And Lord, I pray that this word would go deep into our hearts, that you would awaken purpose, destiny, gifts of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for an activation right now for people who want to grow in the apostolic grace of being sent to pioneer and advance the kingdom. Father, I pray, let the gift of apostolic anointing be activated in your church, O God. Lord, the gift of prophecy and the prophetic. Father, open our ears that we may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, I pray for the evangelists to awaken and arise, people whose hearts are breaking for the lost. Lord, I pray that pastors and people who care for the brokenness of people's souls and relationships, Lord, that you would anoint pastoral grace and gifting. And Lord, I pray for the teachers that, God, you would give them insight into your word, understanding, and let all the gifts of the Holy Spirit come together with the gifts that Christ has given to us, the fivefold ministry, and let there be an awakening in the city of Perth, in Cambodia, in Cork Island, and all across the earth, wherever you send Nations Church. We pray for your blessing, your anointing, and your empowerment as we awaken to the call and the gift of God upon our lives. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, Nation Church. We love you. We honor you. I pray you have an amazing day as you step forward into the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given to you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.